All right, let's go back to Hebrews chapter 11. I started this last week, but this is a continuation of that message, but it stands on its own, so follow along with me here, talking about this man named Moses, a sinner saved by grace, one who came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, who would save him from his sins, justify him before a holy God, based on righteousness that Christ would come and produce in time. This man named Moses, just about everybody knows something about Moses, who knows anything about Bible stories or whatever, how he was the leader that God chose to deliver the Hebrew children out of the bondage of Egypt. Talked about last week how Moses was a type of Christ. Christ is the deliverer of God's chosen people, Jew and Gentile, out of the bondage of sin, the bondage of darkness, the bondage of Satan. That's how Moses typified Christ. He was a picture. But here it speaks of something called the reproach of Christ in verse 26. Let's just read this beginning at verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses. Now that word faith is a revelation from God. The knowledge of God revealed to Moses. God revealed it to him. And that's what he does to us when he brings us to believe, to faith. It's a revelation from God of his promise of salvation through Christ. So by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he was grown, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You remember the story of Moses, how he was raised up in Pharaoh's household. Moses made a choice. Look at verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. That's the Hebrew children. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And his choice, having been based upon the revelation of God, and that's what, you see, somebody says, well, you don't believe people choose to be saved. Listen, every sinner whom God brings to salvation makes the right choice. We choose Christ. We don't choose ourselves. We don't choose anyone. We choose Christ. But that choice is not of our own goodness or our own power or our own free will or anything like that. It's a choice that God brings us to when he makes us willing in the day of his power. And it's based upon a change that God brings about in our hearts, our minds, affections, will, whereby the things we used to esteem, value, those things that we were impressed with and thought recommended us unto God, now we don't esteem them at all. We looked last week in Philippians chapter 3 where Paul said, all those things that I thought were good and right, moral and godly and made me acceptable, made me righteous, he said, I count them all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. I do count them but dung, he said. Boy, that's a very, his values changed. Well, that's what happened to Moses. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ. Now, he put a value on something called the reproach of Christ. You know what reproach is? Reproach, defined it this way last week. It's the hatred. Now, Jim read about that in John 16. Christ told his disciples, don't be amazed if the world hate you. That's the reproach of Christ. Because it hated me before it hated you. It's the hatred. It's the derision. It's the rejection. It's the affliction and even the persecution sometimes that believers suffer from the unbelieving world because of our value, our estimation of Christ and his blood and his righteousness and the gospel message and our testimony of his gospel. And why? Why is it so offensive to the natural man? Well, we'll look at that in just a moment. But Moses had a revelation from God. from God's Word. And based on that revelation, by which he was convinced through the Holy Spirit, he chose to suffer affliction rather than enjoy the luxury of Pharaoh's house for a season. And what he did, it's said here in, this is what God the Holy Spirit says about Moses. Now you need to understand that. That whatever is said here about Moses, this is the Holy Spirit making the Bible. People argue about over what human instrument wrote the book of Hebrews. I personally believe it was the Apostle Paul, but I can't prove that. But here's what I'm telling you, it doesn't matter. God wrote this. That's what I believe the Bible is. I believe the Bible is the written Word of God. How about you? There's no error. There's no contradiction. This is God's Word. So this is God saying this about Moses. And when he talks about Moses' estimation here, he esteemed, he's talking about something that went on in Moses' mind. Moses' values changed. And that's what happens to every sinner saved by grace. Your values change. Now, I'm not talking about in your value of a diamond ring or anything like that. I'm talking about as far as a right relationship with God. What do you value as pertaining to a right relationship with God? And I'm going to tell you something. If you're like Moses, by faith, you value one thing. And that's Christ crucified and risen, His righteousness imputed alone. I want to honor God, I want to obey God, all of that, but my right relationship with God is established, firm, and immovable, and unchangeable in one person based on one work. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on that cross. And that's it. I'm accepted in the Beloved. Now, I value other things, but not like that. And that's what's been said of Moses here. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Now here's the faith. That's the revelation from God. The choosing and the esteeming. Moses' values changed. And the recompense of reward. What was the reward? Well, the reward is eternal life, not because we earn it or deserve it, but because Christ earned it. It's the reward of grace. That's what he's talking about. And then he says in verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And that's talking about a vision of God. Choosing and esteeming the reproach of Christ. Turn to John 16 there, the passage that Brother Jim read. This thing about the reproach of Christ. Why is the gospel such a reproach to the natural man? Well, I'll tell you exactly why. Because it leaves him with no place to glory in himself, to boast in himself. In fact, it calls on him to repent of that which he naturally glories in. Now think about religious people here. Because that's what we're talking about. What do they glory in? You ask most people today about their salvation. Where do they normally go? Well, I made a decision back in umpteen 30 or something, you know. Or I walked an aisle. I gave my heart to... That's what they glory in. Or I turned over a new leaf. Or I had an experience, had a dream, had a vision, all of these things. I became more. I stopped smoking, stopped drinking, stopped doing this. That's what they glory in. Joined the church. Got baptized. That's what they glory in. It's what they boast in. What does a child of God boast in? Well, Paul said it. Galatians 6:14. He said, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Nothing. And he said, Because I glory in the cross, the world is crucified unto me. I look at the world as being cursed of God, and I unto the world. They look at me as being cursed. But this is what Christ is talking about to his disciples. Look at John 16 and verse 18. He says, if the world hates you, John 15, verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now hold your finger. I'm going to go on through John 16, but look back at John 3 that I read in the opening. What is it the world hates? You know, here's the Lord Jesus Christ. How would you describe his character, his personality? Well, he's the only perfect person that ever lived on earth. He's love incarnate. He had compassion on the weak and the sick and the poor. He healed the blind, the lame, the dumb. He even raised from the dead. He had a gentleness and a meekness about him that's unsurpassed by any person. He did no wrong. And yet it says, the world hated him. What was the problem? Was it his personality? No. Was it his expression of love? Well, in some way it was. Because you see, perfect love always tells the truth. Perfect love always tells the truth. And by nature, man just doesn't want to hear the truth concerning how God saves sinners. Look at it in John chapter 3 and verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. In other words, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as he's identified and distinguished in the Word, that's a sign of condemnation. And he says, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now, did you see that? What Christ was preaching as the truth exposed the things that men and women by nature glory in as being evil. Now go back to John 16. This is what he says here, or John 15 rather. He says in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19, if you were of the world, if you were in agreement with the world, spiritually speaking, religiously speaking, the world would love his own. The world would embrace you. And because you're not of the world, but because you're not, I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they've persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. You see, this has to do not with how he acted, but what he said. If they heard and believe me, they'll hear and believe you, because you're saying the same thing, the same gospel. Verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Now look at verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak, no covering for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. What does he mean? If I hadn't come and spoken to them, they had not sinned. What, does that mean they weren't sinners until he come and spoke to them? No. We're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But they didn't think they were sinners. They didn't know and believe they were sinners. But they thought in their religion, in their activities, in their ceremonies, that the issue of sin was already taken care of. Oh, I don't have to worry about my salvation. It's all done. I'm all. Well, what if your ground of salvation denies the glory of God? You know, I talk to people all the time. You know, we just assume everybody's saved. That's the way they look, you know. Well, we're all Christian. We just go to different churches. We go to different denominations. Different ways of salvation. Oh, the thing of sin is already taken care of in my life. That's not a problem. Well, what if a gospel preacher comes along and exposes their ground of salvation as being something that's evil in God's sight? Now, if the Spirit of God doesn't do a work, how are they going to react to that? They're going to reject you. They're going to hate you. Now, that hatred may express itself in a lot of different ways. It may just, they ignore you. Maybe they might attack you. Some of the disciples went through that. But that's what he's saying. What he was preaching. And what was he saying? That in order for a sinner to be saved, in order for God to have mercy and grace upon that sinner, you must have perfect righteousness. That's what you've got to have. That's what I've got to have. We don't have it. We cannot get it by our best works. There's only one way that a sinner can be found before God righteous in God's sight. And that's through the perfect work of the Lord Jesus Christ, His righteousness imputed, His blood alone. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And if you think anything else can do it, whatever that thing is, it's evil. You know why it's evil? Not because it's immoral in the eyes of men. Men applaud it. That which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination to God. It's evil because it denies the glory of God. It's evil because it denies Christ, who is the Lord our righteousness. If righteousness come by the law, Galatians 2:21, then Christ died in vain. A sinner coming before God based on anything but the merits of Christ's righteousness alone is actually making a statement that what Christ did was in vain. That's evil. And notice what he says here. Look at John 16. Look at verse 1. Christ says, "Now these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended." I'm telling you this beforehand so that you won't stumble over this when it happens. And look what he says in verse 2. "They shall put you out of" what? You see it there? They're going to throw you out. Now, what are they going to throw you out of? The bars? The brothels? Well, they probably would. He said they're going to put you out of the synagogues. You know what that is? That's their religious gatherings. They're going to throw you out of their church. You go up, stand before a church group. Let me put it in this context. Here's a preacher. And he's telling sinners to look somewhere or to someone to find righteousness, to find salvation, to find forgiveness. But it's somewhere, someone other than Christ and Him alone, His blood alone, His righteousness alone. It's like the pastor I heard up in Atlanta. He said, what's gonna bring forgiveness of sin? What does the Bible say will bring forgiveness of sin? One thing, the blood of Christ. This pastor got up and he said, "What's going to bring forgiveness of sin? Your repentance." God does not forgive your sins based on your repentance, folks. That is not biblical. That is anti-gospel. Get up in that congregation and say, "Now what this man just said is evil." What do you think they're going to do? That's what he's talking about. That's what caused Moses to leave his adopted family, to reject them, even turn against them, because he valued the reproach of Christ. Now, why did he value that? Well, because he saw the glory of God. That's what the scripture says. Look over at Exodus. I want to show you a couple of scriptures, and I'm not going to go long today because we're taking the Lord's Supper. But look at Exodus chapter 2. Or Exodus chapter 3. You know, Moses, there were a lot of events that caused him to go the way that he went. You know, he saw one of the Hebrew slaves being mistreated by an Egyptian, and he slew that Egyptian, and he had to leave that country. And then later, and he, of course, went out on the backside of the desert, became a shepherd, married a woman. And you know what happened, how the Lord called him up. And here in Exodus chapter 3, it says in verse 2, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Now, what I believe is happening here is what we call a pre-incarnate visitation of Christ. The angel of the Lord, the messenger of God, the angel of the covenant. And, of course, the Lord revealed himself to Moses over in the verse 14 of chapter 3. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. He said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. He identified himself as the Lord God in verse 15, the Lord God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All of that. And then he commissioned Moses to go back in and withstand the most powerful king on earth, Pharaoh, to the face. And you know the story. Look over in Exodus chapter 33. God revealed himself to Moses and commissioned him to follow the commands of God in going and withstanding Pharaoh to the face. And of course, you know his brother Aaron was with him. And you know the story about all the plagues and all of that. Next week, I'm going to talk about the Passover and how they crossed the Red Sea. Well, this right here is after all that happened, after he got them out. God brought him out. Moses had been taken up on the Mount Sinai. God revealed himself there. And here he is at the end of all that. And it says in Exodus 33, where Moses, look at verse 12. Moses said unto the Lord, see that thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wast sent with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. See, Moses here is a possessor. He's a recipient of the grace of God. That's how God saves sinners. That's how God keeps sinners. And Moses asked him there. He says, if I found grace in your sight, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Look at verse 18. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Well, had Moses seen his glory? Yes, he had. But you know, that's one thing about it. Once God shows you his glory, you can't get enough of it. You don't want to move on from there, do you? If you see, now where does God reveal his glory? In the face of Jesus Christ. That's why we preach Christ and him crucified, risen. That's why we preach his righteousness. We can't get enough of it. You don't want to move on from there. I've had people say, well, now why don't you stop talking about that and go on talking about what we can do? Well, you haven't seen his glory. His glory in the face of Jesus Christ, in the person of Christ. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. That's an amazing thing. That question has never even entered into the minds of natural religion, let alone been answered. But the gospel answers it. We who are sinners, we stand before God, righteous in God's sight. God who knows my thoughts. God whose word cuts to the quick. And he accepts, he looks at me, and he says, not guilty, righteous. How? How is that possible? Not but one way. By grace that reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Why would God show that to me? Look at verse 19 of Exodus 33. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before thee. I'll proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I'll be gracious to whom I'll be gracious. And I'll show mercy on whom I will show mercy. There's God's sovereignty. It's part of his glory. People rise up in opposition to that. They say, well, I don't want that. God chooses some and passes by others. Well, he said, that's my glory, Moses. Shall not the potter do what he will with the clay? If he chooses to make one vessel under wrath, one vessel unto mercy, and that his right, that's part of his glory. And look on, he says in verse 20, he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. You can't, listen, you cannot come face to face with God on your own. That's what that means. You see, you got to have a mediator. Got to have a surety. Got to have a substitute. You got to have a righteousness that you don't have in yourself. And so he says in verse 20, and the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. What a picture of Christ. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking. He says, it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock. That's Christ. Covered in his blood, clothed in his righteousness, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And then verse 23, he says, I'll take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now, you know what that means? Again, he says, you shall not see my face. Now, we're going to talk about that a little bit next week when we talk about Moses seeing the invisible God. But you cannot come to God on your own face to face. You can't do it. We're sinners. But his back parts, you know what that means? That's the work that he's finished and accomplished. And it's upon the ground of the finished, completed, accomplished work of the Lord Jesus Christ in putting away our sins and making us righteous before him based on his righteousness imputed, that we'll meet God, see him, be accepted with him, all the blessings of salvation. Now, that's what brings on the reproach of the world, the reproach of Christ, the hatred of the world, because they glory in other things, but we glory in Christ. Now, that's what the Lord's Supper is about. We're going to come, and I'm going to ask the men to come on up and...